It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss caring for diabetes in the Hmong community and closing gaps in cultural understanding as some of the world's biggest insulin makers announce plans to slash the cost of some life-saving insulin products. You can join the conversation with questions and comments about the Hmong population in Wisconsin and healthcare, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maisie Tao is director of the Hmong Studies Program and an assistant professor in anthropology at UW Oshkosh. Maisie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, let's start with your research into how trauma and displacement can affect the health of people, can affect the health of the Hmong community. What have you learned?
Yeah, so, I started this work back as a graduate student, but a lot of this is also informed by my personal experience, right? So just seeing a lot of people who are Hmong with type 2 diabetes and none of that being documented in the data because of the, assumption that Hmong people are also Asian. And so the kind of health disparities around diabetes didn't really get, it kind of gets invisibilized, right? And so in the work that I was doing, I started to find that Hmong folks do have indeed a high prevalence of type 2 diabetes. But also, so as a medical anthropologist, right, so that means also I'm unpacking some of our taken-for-granted assumptions about things. So kind of challenging our ideas around diabetes. So most of the time we think of diabetes as something that you have to control individually, and that you have to maintain a healthy lifestyle so that you can have a good and long, healthy life. But, what I was finding with the population I was studying, and these are older Hmong adults, so who are around 50 to 60 and older, and experienced the war and refugee resettlement. And so what I was finding was that despite being very cognizant and aware of kind of the even our own medical cultural assumptions around diabetes, they became, really, they helped to understand the ways in which life in the U.S. actually isn't as conducive, right, to having a healthy life. So my interlocutors who I did my research with really talked about how life in the U.S., it was, they were dealing with economic precarity, being laid off, ongoing forms of experience of social loss, right? Because either they can't speak English or they have to repurpose their labor, right, when the changing labor markets too. And so life post-resettlement for these refugees long-term has been something that was really difficult for them and really impacted their diabetes.
Is this area that, as you talk about resettlement experiences of refugees, uprooting your life perhaps decades ago, is that historical trauma understudied in this area? Do you find that the research isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think in particular to the Hmong population, right, we have a lot of literature in early resettlement time period for Hmong, but kind of following them along the lifespan is something that is new. And I think, because, when we think about the category of the refugee, we think of it mostly in terms of like the UN definition, right, of someone fleeing war. And so oftentimes our assumption is that the refugee is resettled so that they're okay, right, that their life is better. There's that handoff. And so my work is really bearing witness to what life after resettlement looks like.
Oh, because it almost feels like, well, you've resettled, done and dusted, start a new chapter, move on. But that doesn't really have that effect on physical and mental health. You have seen across generations the repercussions of that resettlement.
Yeah. I mean, I think when Hmong people are resettled, there were resettlement programs that were in place to help them and channel them into, labor markets like the manufacturing and textile industry, right? But, with the economic crash in 2008, a lot of these people were laid off, unemployed, right, as well as kind of the changing demands of the types of skills that people wanted to see, right? And so when you're dealing with a population that typically doesn't speak English as well, right? There isn't programs to help them repurpose their labor or repurpose their skills in order to find another job so that they could be economically stable. And I think for me also, it's really important to highlight that refugees are oftentimes resettled into the kinds of landscape of the U.S., right? And so dealing with kind of the racial and economic inequality within the U.S., that, you know, refugees are predominantly put into places of high poverty and racial segregation. And so that also contributes to some of this stuff.
What can change in healthcare? How can healthcare providers better take into account different cultural experiences when providing care, when that nurse, that doctor, that medical provider may be a world away from that kind of trauma and strife and also may have language barriers?
Right. I think, you know, that's also something that I'm trying to think through more in my book manuscript. But I think what I find really enlightening in doing the research that I do is that my interlocutors have a really sharp understanding of biomedical culture, right? And so, but us as people who are immersed in biomedicine, right, as well as healthcare providers, like, we don't realize our own culture of medicine. And so they have a way of kind of articulating that, you know, medicine is oftentimes focused within the body, within the individual, and they're asking the provider to also bear witness to life outside of the body, right? To thinking about the social contexts that really shape and structure people to experience ongoing forms of displacement or also to be placed in a way that they then, you know, experience inequality, right? And so really asking healthcare providers to be reflective of kind of the culture in which they're part of, but also understanding how their patient's perspective can also be a lens into looking into our own culture and thinking about the things that we perhaps are taking for granted.
I think what you say there is a really beautiful way to make a case for narrative medicine and the importance of narrative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
UW Oshkosh medical anthropologist Maisy Tao with us on research into the health of an underserved population in Wisconsin and furthering scholarship in the Hmong Studies program. Call in with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have UW Oshkosh, Assistant Professor of Anthropology, head of its Hmong Studies program. Maisy Tao is here on research into cultural misunderstandings in an underserved community, her vision to deepen Hmong Studies into the college curriculum. Still time to join in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. In 2020, you were named the head of UW Oshkosh's new Hmong Studies program. Tell us how this position came about.
Yeah, so I think there was a Hmong student, Cassie Shong, when she came onto campus, she wanted to see more curriculum that reflected herself, right? And so really trying to push the university to put on more Hmong Studies courses. And then there was an unfortunate racist incident on campus in 2018 that really kind of catapulted the creation of my position. And so, yeah, I think, you know, because of that, you know, I've been really trying to build a program in collaboration with Hmong students on this campus.
And as you create this program, what are your goals? What do you envision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my vision for Hmong Studies, I think, you know, for me, I think context is important. So Wisconsin, we have the third largest Hmong population in the entire U.S., and that Hmong is the third most spoken language in Wisconsin. And in the Fox Valley, where I'm situated, we have a really large sprawling Hmong community in the Fox Valley. And so for me, I want to really create Hmong Studies as something that's dynamic, that's talking about issues of race, issues of power, issues of U.S. imperialism, like war, military expansion, right, in Southeast Asia. And so that students who come through the program actually have a really critical lens and are able to kind of then apply it, right, into the kinds of career that they will go into. So, like, you know, I get students who are majors in business, right, in healthcare, human services leadership, but really being able to think about issues of power and inequity through the lens of Hmong studies.
A college student might ask how Hmong studies would be relevant to them in their careers after graduation. And I would imagine you have confronted that before. What do you say in those situations?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Hmong studies is kind of a case study, right, in which we can think about larger issues. So for me, it allows us to think about refugee communities, right? It allows us to think about communities that have been displaced. But I think for me also, you know, like I came into the job in 2020 at the height of the COVID pandemic. Mm. And I taught my course called Memory and Trauma. And it was also really relevant to thinking about how a community experiences crisis and trauma, right? And dislocation and what, you know, being on virtual in the virtual platform. And it allows us to kind of think about how have communities sustained themselves, right? What is their resiliency? What is their ability to heal and to name some of that? And so I think it was really healing for my students to go through that and think about that through a refugee community and then apply it to their life, right, currently in the COVID pandemic.
Kimberly from Arena called in, and Kimberly says there's this book called The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down. It's the narrative of a young Hmong refugee child dealing with epilepsy in the U.S. healthcare system. Kimberly's wondering if you've read the book, encountered it, and wants to know how your studies are similar or different from the book's story.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, so this book has shaped a lot of American medical education as well as education in higher ed. But the book is fairly problematic in how it represents Hmong people as like cultural or primitive and stubborn. And so my work is really contesting and challenging this book, right, to really highlighting Hmong ways of knowing is actually legitimate, right, and also allowing us to think critically about medicine, but also to talk about how people perhaps even experience racism in medicine too, right? And so kind of talking about that kind of complexity. And so my work is in itself a push against this book.
How do you talk about the book in your coursework at all? Does it come up?
Yeah, so in my course, I actually don't teach the book because mm-hmm. I think sometimes that it has too much harm for me to undo. Mm-hmm. But we do talk about some of the excerpts and about thinking about culture, right? Thinking about who gets represented as cultural and who gets represented as acultural, right? Who possesses culture and doesn't, right? And oftentimes those are along the lines of racialization, right? And so when you racialize somebody as cultural, you're making them very visibly, right, cultural, and that's the way you come to understand them. And so, like, within Hmong studies, like, for me, it's also unsettling this idea of culture to say, you know, Hmong people are people, right, and that they are complex and they're contradictory, just like all of us. Like, this is about, you know, this is about humans, too. So it's not about just culture, right, talking about the complexity of what it means to be human. And so, you know, my students do an analysis of culture, even as it, you know, how Hmong people are represented, even in mainstream media like Grey's Anatomy, Doogie Howser, right? And so they're able to say, oh, wow, this is how this narrative of culture, the way that Fadiman creates, right, really is showcased over and over again, even in, you know, in the media.
Eye-opening as well outside in so many different aspects. Talking about the Hmong Studies program at UW Oshkosh with its program director, Maisie Tao, medical anthropologist. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Maisie, how could Hmong Studies be incorporated into more fields of study in the future? What do you envision there?
Yeah, so, you know, I think Hmong studies for me at Oshkosh, I think I can speak for that, And well, I think in general, I think Hmong studies actually grows, is very interdisciplinary, right? So it grew out of anthropology. You have being developed by scholars in sociology, right, in education policy, research, and history. And so it's very interdisciplinary in nature. And so I think that, you know, having curriculum that draws on Hmong studies really helps to kind of nuance the curriculum, right, in the ways that our students are able to understand, you know, some of the various disciplines that we come from. And so at the university, for me, I'm really interested in growing Hmong studies, you know, into, you know, our College of Education, into a College of Nursing. Currently, it's in College of Arts and Science, but really giving people, you know, a nuanced perspective of the population, but also to understand that allows us to think about what it means to work in a growing, diverse world, right?
How could academia be more supportive of Hmong history and culture and research?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm very lucky to say that my university has been really supportive. We recently were able to hire two new Hmong studies faculty who will be joining me in the fall, which is actually history in the making. Never before have we ever had a Hmong studies program that has had more than one faculty. And so this is kind of where the support has come, is at, you know, the personnel. And then also, you know, just recently was in a conversation with the chancellor and the provost with community members to think about the applied aspect of Hmong studies and branching it out into the community. And I think that's why here at UWO makes it so conducive to do that, because UWO is very much invested in thinking about community engagement.
Maisie Tao, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Maisie Tao, Director of the Hmong Studies Program and Assistant Professor of Anthropology at UW Oshkosh. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.